the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice. As always, in the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, Philly's finest with all the Philly's gear on, Wildress Ruffin.
Ah, it feels good. It feels amazing to be here. I'm always excited when it's smoke o'clock. Voice, how you feeling today?
Oh, man. I'm, as I was sharing in the pre-show, I'm feeling absolutely amazing. I got energy. I'm great. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day to talk fights. So let's get to it.
He's singing. Let me give him his intro. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the man, the myth, the legend. The man was on t-shirt. You see the halo over his head, but he ain't going to tell you he got. It's the man, the voice. Voice with his Bruce Leroy is on. It's going to be an amazing, amazing show today. We got some great things to get into. You already hear voice singing. Voice, let's not even keep him waiting. Let's get into KOs and low blows.
All right.
Now, Voice, we've talked about this off show, we talked about this on show, but the last few weeks, boxing news on social media has literally been completely over the top. From Haney and Garcia going through it, to Haney's father and Bronner going through it on social media, to Canelo and Benavidez. It almost seems like now it's becoming the one thing that you dislike the most. WWE, is it sports entertainment, Voice? Has a sport seemed to have lost its integrity, or are what we see in the sign of the times to literally sell fights now?
This is boxing. And often, not just in sports, but just in life in general, our memories are kind of short. You remember when Mike Tyson, like, literally went at Lennox Lewis at the press conference, right?
True.
And then talked about some, you know, I'm going to eat your children. I'm going to have relations with your dogs. I mean, just all kinds of wild stuff. So I can't say that this is sensationalism for sensationalism's sake. Mm-hmm. In the case of Ryan Garcia, though, I'm scared. Like, I don't know if this fight is going to happen. And really, it shouldn't happen. Because this man is talking about aliens and all kinds of stuff. Admittedly, using drugs and being high at press conferences. You know, it's just, it's a train wreck. He took time off for mental health, you know, a year or so back, and people were talking about him regarding that. This is the reason why you take off time for mental health, and it really, he needs some time off. He is not in the state of mind to be fighting anybody. Haney definitely is. Like, look at him. He's unprofessional. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm locked in, and sure enough, he is. But Garcia is not. And I feel for him because he really doesn't have anyone that has his ear. You know, we talked about how he's somewhat malleable, but at the same time, he still does just what he wants to do. And someone needs to be talking to him. There's no reason that he should be saying, I'm using drugs and all that stuff in a fight camp. Right. That shouldn't be coming out your mouth. When those things start happening, you need to be pulled to the side and someone else needs to be speaking for you. It's really not good. They took his phone. They took away his access to money. You know, just all of that stuff. And then when he got it back, it was worse than when they took it. You know, you got the demonology stuff. It's just all kinds of craziness. I'm concerned about him. I want the best for him. And right now, the best is not to be fighting.
I mean, his camp came out and said that he was trolling, but that he was trolling in the wrong way. I believe the mother of his child came out and said, you know, that he needed help. I think it was actually before they came out with the trolling information. The one thing I have to ask is, because the fight between he and Haney, if we're being honest, he sells the fight. You know, he sells the fight. And it may be, especially after the last fight to Davis, he may feel as though he's literally at the end, because if he loses this bout, he was even challenged, if I'm not mistaken, he was even challenging Jake Paul during social media. So he is all over the place. I, you know, like you said, we hope and pray that, you know, everything is okay. You believe that he doesn't need to be fighting. We'll see what happens, because I've heard from some people on social media who are saying, you know, that it's going to continue to happen, that the fight is going to happen. And then some are saying they don't believe that eventually this fight will go forward. But, you know, if this is truly an issue, it is something that has to be looked into. But the thing about it is, boys, everyone in the boxing community right now seems to be trying to give their greatest promo like they're The Rock. Benavidez has literally been on social media calling out everybody, including Canelo. Even Mike Tyson made statements about Canelo and him possibly not fighting Benavidez. I know we've talked about this before, and, you know, shout out to the late, I think he's no longer with us, Mitch Blood Green, which, you know, if you don't remember Mitch Blood Green, he's the original instigator of fights. But voice, is all this really just to sell fights, or is this a lot of frustration with the way that the promoters are handling a lot of these fights possibly happening?
I think it's a combination of both. That it's, this is how you're getting views currently. And really, you know, you spoke about Ryan. He's proof positive of, you have an active social media base, you get people to come out and watch the fight. So it part of it is that the promotions and things have been going on for a while. It's just now really taking prominence within a social arena. You know, it, and some of it is just how people are, and it's how they live. I mean, these things have been going on for quite some time. It's just now we have access to it. And for those who are media savvy, those who are knowledgeable of how to use this to their advantage, they are. I mean, come on, back in the day, fights used to be on radio. So I'm sure that there was a different tactic from that to TV, a different tactic from that to pay-per-view. So again, I think it's much of the same. Just like the word, you have to preach the same word all the time, just using different methods.
Awesome take, boys. We're going to take a quick break. Check out our sponsors, Ozell Brand. Make sure you get some of those when we come back. We're going to get into it. Joshua Ngannou, UFC 299, and the media presser for Ngannou and Joshua. Tyson Fury made his presence felt. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle.
Awesome shout out to our amazing sponsors. Make sure you go out and you get your kids some cleats. I know baseball season is coming up, and I know how expensive all those things are. So make sure you go out, check out Ozell Brand. Shout out to the amazing sponsor there. Now, voice, this is something we've been talking about for weeks. You know, I know right now, if it wasn't if it was a smaller fight, this would actually be your voice's marquee matchup because of who's in it. But we're gonna get into it. Now, Francis Ngannou seems to be on a world tour of big fights, and the tour continues as he faces Anthony Joshua at the Kingdom Arena in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Now, the heavyweight bout is actually scheduled for 10 three-minute rounds, and it just got even bigger, voice, with the announcement from Tyson Fury that the winner of the bout, now, depending on who you ask, because there's two different stories coming out, the winner of the bout is actually going to be facing the winner of the Fury Usyk bout, which actually is going to be two major bouts. So it's going to be, so the first of the two Fury the two Fury Usyk bouts is going to actually take place in May. That's going to be the crown, the first undisputed champion since 1999. Now, while Joshua and Ngannou are the main attraction for the upcoming fight, it seems that all the major players, including Fury, has something today during has something to say during the media presser. Now, it's and the most hilarious thing that ever happened, and Ngannou and Fury got into a shouting match, with Fury making a few statements, including that he would wipe the ring with Fury again, stating, "I had one win and I want more. Or, I want one more." And this is a claim that many agree with, is most felt that Francis won their previous bout. We actually talked about this on the main card previously. Now, Joshua stated that while he would love to have a championship bout with Fury or Usyk, he's more focused on Ngannou. But if he's given the chance, he is going to wipe the floor with Fury. Now, to top that off, boys, check this out. Tyson Fury stated he would fight the MMA vet Ngannou in the octagon, to which the Cameroonian replied, "Your only chance is in a boxing ring with boxing rules. Outside of this, make sure you stay a couple meters away or you'll get hurt, friend." Voice. Now, listen, we just talked about the sensationalism of what's going on in boxing, but this media presser was literally filled with moments and moments. What are your thoughts on this? And I'll ask the second question that I want to get you prepared for. What are your also your thoughts on who the winner will face?
So my thoughts about the press conference, I saw it in preparation as well. And I loved the way that they were talking. AJ is locked in, dialed in. You know, people talked about, you know, oh, his power. He's like, bring it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready. I was like, woo! Like, this dude, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him like this in quite some time. You know, definitely not post Ruiz. You haven't seen this kind of Joshua. It's like, yeah, bring it. And he's talked about, look, you all keep talking about Francis' power. I got power. And people have been saying that they think that, you know, AJ may knock him out. Now, I don't feel, well, let me not say that. The way that it would happen is through attrition, because Francis did say that. He was like, look, yeah, it's like, I was tired after 10 rounds. Like, you fight 10 rounds. Like, I'm still learning. Which I love too, his humbleness. He knows where he is, but he also believes in himself. We talked about Ruiz. Ruiz showed how hurt Joshua can be, and Usyk stung him a couple times in the fights that they've had. If Francis lands, it could be over. Mm-hmm. The difference in this fight, though, is that what I believe the difference will be is that AJ knows how dangerous he is. He's not taking him lightly like Tyson Fury was. So that's my thought as far as like the press conference has me ready to go. And it's like, okay, you know, I might have to break out the card on this one. I don't know, but it's I'm ready.
Definitely. Now, it was a couple different reports stating that the winner would either face Fury or that they would face the winner between Fury and Usyk. Now, the thing about this is, voice, is Fury and Usyk is guaranteed to be two fights no matter what happens. So that fight wouldn't take place probably until 2026. What are your thoughts on the winner actually, whether it's facing the winner of that or facing the winner or facing Fury in the end?
For Ngannou, if he were to win, he can wait. I don't think it would be that far in the future. I think they would probably run it back again this year. So it'd be 2025. I don't think it'd be 2026 by the time. Well,
Fury said they wouldn't fight until 2026. He said he would only fight one time this year.
Okay, well, if that's what he's saying, and he's the one that's making these claims, he's still got to beat Usyk, and it's not a given that he's going to beat Usyk. So he can say all this stuff, you know, if he wants to. 2026 is a long time to sit on the sidelines. For Francis, as I stated, that would be fine because he has the PFL to go and ply his trade in, you know, to keep himself busy and keep, you know, himself liquid. AJ can't sit on the sidelines that long. And honestly, the sanctioning bodies should not allow that. And I don't think that they are. I want to say that really the winner of this fight will probably go on to fight possibly someone on the undercard for, I believe, the IBF title is kind of up in the air right now.
Okay. So now this is the you know, before we put our stamp on this, I want to ask this one last thing. Now, we know what Ngannou's plans are. It's PFL for Ngannou is coming up. But with the big name that he's made for himself after the Fury bout, who actually needs this win more? Is it Anthony Joshua or is it Ngannou?
This is AJ all day. He needs it, as I stated. Francis has a whole nother career in MMA that he's had already and that he is just waiting to make more money on. This is it for AJ. I mean, or I should say boxing is everything for AJ. He already has put himself in position to become a three-time champion with the way that he defeated Hrgović in his last... No, it wasn't Hrgović, it was Wallin. Wallin in his last fight. So, you know, taking this fight, it's a bit of a gamble, you know, because, you know, Fury can I'm not Fury. Francis can demolish you with one strike. He's shown that plenty of times. So, it's a real gamble for him. And if he were not to win, it sets him back.
Awesome to hear. It's exciting to see all this take place. We're only in March and we have another big fight to look forward to. Make sure you all following The Voice on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, because I already know the spiciness is going to be taking place, especially if Ngannou pulls that out. Now, Voice, UFC 299. Now, sometimes Voice sequels don't live up to the hype. And there are other times where the second take may just be exciting, if not more exciting than the original. Now, UFC and MMA fans are hoping that this is true. When Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera meet at UFC 299 at the Casia Arena. Now, this time it's actually going to be for O'Malley's UFC Bantamweight Championship on the line. Now, since the first loss, O'Malley has kind of been on a tear, Voice. Six wins with wins over Petr Yan and Aljamain Sterling. The weird thing about this, Voice, is if you ask O'Malley, the loss, while circumstantial, is this was actually due to a kick that actually caused O'Malley's, I believe, his bottom half of his body to freeze. He couldn't move. He believes this was actually a blessing in disguise. He stated, yeah, that fight never necessarily bothered me. Look where I'm at now. The fight plays out a different way. I win that fight, and then the next fight, I fight someone I wasn't ready for, and I lose, and my career completely plays out differently. So I go out there and knock out Thomas Almeida like seven times with a beautiful performance. So I'm just grateful for everything that's happened. But yeah, that fight has never really bothered me. He went on to state, I'm excited to go out there and do what I was going to do in that first fight. Now, Vera, who was the winner in the first fight, he kind of shut down his personal nerves. This actually left him temporarily incapable of lifting his ankles and his toes, and that allowed Vera to go down and complete the win. Now, while O'Malley is not taking Vera for granted, he did stated that hypothetically, if he were to lose, he would only count this as one loss to Vera and not two. He stated he's hard to put away, and if you can't put him away, you better be ready to go for 25 minutes. So I plan on a 25-minute war. If he were to beat me, he beat me once, and it's that simple. Voice, what are your thoughts on this? And what are you thinking about O'Malley's statement that, listen, that first one wasn't a loss, but this one would be?
We often talk about how there has to be a certain level of delusion to be a professional fighter. And that's what this sounds like. Like full blown delusion. If he didn't beat you, then, I mean, what happened? And you saying, oh, yeah, you know, it was a lucky strike that you know, made that happen. Yeah, you know, well, he just caught me, you know, and that's why I lost. Well, you lost. That's what, yeah, you're right. That's why you lost. He caught you. That's the name of the game. You're in there. You take advantage of people's opportunities. You catch them so you can win. That's fight one-on-one. Oh, but he didn't beat me for real. Okay. This sounds like you are downplaying what took place, which means it sounds as if you're not taking this as seriously as you need to, which means you're probably opening up more opportunities for yourself to get caught. Now, all of this is you know, just speculation. We don't know. But that kind of talk makes me uneasy for the champion.
I mean, it's understandable. At the same token, you know, like you said, it was a circumstantial loss, although a loss is still a loss. But if O'Malley is still comfortable coming into this, I kind of want to give him a benefit of doubt. I mean, if you look, Voice, his last loss,
that was his only loss. Yeah, that's only then.
Four of his last six bouts have literally come by KO, and then the fifth was actually that no contest due to the accidental eye poke against Pedro Munhoz, I believe. So he's coming into a confident. Now, I will agree. What I didn't like was, he basically stated, if I lose, and most people who are coming into a fight confident, they're not stating the if, ands, and buts. They're literally coming into a stating, hey, I'm going to take this bout. So should we be worried about O'Malley? Or do you think this is just his way of selling the fight and just his talk?
I don't think he's selling the fight for the public. He might be selling it for himself. Because even in his statement about, you know, if I lose, I lost before. So I lost before, but I don't count it a loss. I didn't lose. Which one is it? Did you lose or did you not lose? To me, it sounds as if he knows he lost. He's not the only person that's lost to this technique. Michael Chandler lost his belt at MSG to Premise with this same technique. That's the first time we saw someone who lost the fight because of that. You kick him in the per something nerve, it is, and it shuts down your leg. You can't do anything. And, you know, he's, oh, I rolled my ankle. You know, he kicked you in that spot and it shut you down. I feel like this also happened to Henry Cejudo as well. But I know it first happened, or I should say the first time that it happened on a major stage, it was Michael Chandler losing his belt. So no, he utilized a technique that's known in MMA to stop fights. You lost. You know, if he knocked you out, you know, he just caught me with a good shot. You lost. And to me, again, it sounds like he knows he's lost. And if I were him, my statements would be a lot different. But again, I think for himself, he's saying these things to hype himself up for the fight, because he knows that this man Cheeto is dangerous, which is why as soon as he got the belt, he was like, I want that get back. So could be some salesmanship, could be, you know, some reality, could be both.
Well, there's no bigger stage than the main event of UFC 299, and a win for Vera would be his first major title in the UFC since joining in 2014. So that's going to be fireworks. That's going to be the main event. However, this week's Voices marquee matchup is also on UFC 299. It's going to be a welterweight clash on the undercard between Venom and the Trailblazer. Voice, tell us why this is this week's Voices marquee matchup.
Oh, man. The Voices marquee matchup between who? Michael Venom Page and the Trailblazer, Holland, old Big Mouth, as Dana liked to call him. Kevin Holland is game. He's like, for lack of better terms, he's the black cowboy. And when I say black cowboy, I'm not talking about Pickett or, you know, anyone like that, but Cowboy Cerrone. I want to fight. I want to fight all the time. I'll take on all comers. I'm not concerned, not overly concerned about my my position or my record. I just want to fight. And Holland is going to get in there, and he's going to give MVP a fight. This is such excellent matchmaking on the part of the UFC, because Holland is someone who will truly test MVP. I've heard, you know, some people saying, oh, you know, MVP hasn't had a real test before. This man has had real tests before in Bellator. Let's not sleep on the talent that Bellator had. You know, he lost to Douglas Lima, but then he also beat Douglas Lima. Now, granted, is this a Douglas Lima that was kind of long in the tooth? Yeah, it was. Was MVP's record crafted like a boxer's? Yeah, it was. Oh, but it was so exciting to watch him go out there and do the things that he did. And Big Mouth is going to be talking to him the whole time. So that means that MVP is going to be talking right back and doing different things. The one thing that really makes this excellent fight is who all Holland has faced and how they did. Holland had a split decision loss to someone who employs the same kind of strategies in Wonderboy. So if MVP is able to do better than Wonderboy did, then that puts him, you know, on a certain level. If Holland is able to beat him, then that puts him, you know, on another level. It's going to be an exciting fight. And that is the key for it being the Voices Marquee matchup. Will it go all three rounds? If so, oh my goodness, we should be in for a fight. One thing that would help Holland in this fight that I really don't think he's going to do, but the one thing that would help him is if he employed his ground game. You know, he talked about he started off in Kung Fu, you know, and then he started kickboxing, and then he got into MMA and into the grappling area specifically. If he uses his grappling, then it's over for MVP, because he's shown that is not, or I should say, not only is that not his strength, that's his kryptonite. That's his Thanos snap, is the ground game. So, again, will Holland do that? I don't think so. But if he really wants to win and not just challenge his skills, that's what he needs to do.
Wow. Now, boy, she was doing the fight better than the actual fighters. That's going to be another amazing bout that's going to be on that UFC 299 card that we're definitely looking forward to, especially with that main event. That is actually going to prepare you for an amazing weekend of combat sports. Voice, tell us, are there any other fights or bouts that we should be looking forward to this weekend?
You know it is. You know it is. So let's go and go to those final words, and I will tell you all about the wonderful fights that you should be looking forward to this weekend. It's just bananas when it comes to fighting. Both of these cards have excellent, excellent fights on them. On the UFC card, now you can't see it because the graphic is a little small, so let's go this way. But, you know, we've talked about the main event being O'Malley and Vera. We didn't talk about the co-main between Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint Denis. That's a huge fight, but we didn't talk about it because it's a co-main and it's getting a whole lot of play. This MVP fight with Holland, I think, is flying under the radar. That's why it was a Voices Marquee matchup. But you also have Gilbert Burns fighting Jack Della Maddalena. JDM, what? You got Piotr Jan and Song Yadong. You got Jilton Almeida, who very likely will fight for the title next if he is to beat the man who is the title maker. Like, if you get past me, you can fight for the title, because I should be fighting for the title. Mr. Curtis, I'm going to lay on you for 25 minutes, Blades. That's for obviously a 5-round fight. 15 minutes if it's a 3-round fight, which this is. But him going to the ground with Blaze is like, I mean, with Almeida is like, that's where he wins. He's a big dude, but it's that BJ. Jane, do you really want to take this to the ground? I don't know. You know, so you got all of these wonderful fights. And then you got former champion RDA on the card. I mean, this fight card is bananas, but it's not the only one. In KO Chaos, you got Zhang and Barker fighting. Barker made a name for himself coming back and just making Deontay Wilder look silly in their fight last year, taking on Zhang, who took on the world and showed who he was by defeating Joe Joyce twice. You know, like I said, the winner of this more than likely will face whoever is the winner of the main event for a vacant title. And then, a vacant title once one of them gets stripped, but they're already talking about that. But then you also got Ray Vargas fighting on his card. I mean, this is a crazy, crazy card on a Friday afternoon. And yeah, it's a beautiful weekend to be a fan of fight sports.
Wow. That sounds amazing. We need to vote you as a promoter of the year, because you know how to promote the fights in the best way possible. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you again for constantly joining us for the main card. 7:15 is always smoke o'clock. We try to bring you the best in combat sports. If you are not following MTMV Sports, please make sure you follow us. We are available to be followed on anywhere where you actually follow podcasts. If you can't see these voices, you can take us with you in the car while you're working out, wherever you want to do. Also, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to this video if you have not already. Make sure you share it with your friends and family. Let us know some of the big fights that you actually want to see coming up. Mm-hmm. You never know. We might be talking about them on the show soon. Voice, take us out, sir.
Until next time, fight the good fight.
Hey, guys, it's your girl, C, and you just watched a show on MTMV Sports Network. And if you like what you see and you want more exciting content, please like, share, and subscribe to the channel.